This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right. Great to be with you today. You know, we've talked a lot about restaurants and keeping restaurants open, trying to save this industry before it gets too late. Well, there's a group called the Philadelphia Restaurant Owners Group Against Lockdowns, Philadelphia Restaurant Owners Group Against Lockdowns. And I'm very, very happy to welcome to the show Brian Fritz. Brian Fritz represents this group, and he is a partner with a very, very important law firm, of course, in the city, Fritz and B.N. Cooley. Hey, Brian, thanks for making time today to come on the show. How are you?
How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the restaurant owners and the struggle that they're having right now. Let's talk about it.
Sure. It's been a struggle since March. I mean, if we remember back then, there was an incremental shutdown of restaurants almost immediately where the city had shut them down for initially 2 weeks, and then it became protracted, another month, whatever. And then they were gradually allowed to reopen to a limited capacity. So that actually placed these restaurants on an endangered species list already. Now, consider their struggles, the city's about to put them into extinction because of the financial challenges. It's a very challenging business to begin with. But with the city's actions here, and really without any sort of input, questioning and complete bypassing of city council as well as all matters of due process, the city really is pushing these people and these businesses to the brink. And it's not only them, it's also all the workers, the bartenders, the wait staff, the cooks, and also don't forget about the food suppliers. This has a ripple effect that goes much further than just the front door of a restaurant.
Well, explain that. What do you mean the ripple effect in terms of the people that work there and their families?
Well, it's also the people that work there. And all. Mm-hmm. And think about all the other additional industries that are part of the restaurant industry itself. You have the food suppliers. Mm-hmm. You have linen companies. You have, janitorial services. You have all these other types of businesses that are directly impacted and also thrive or otherwise as a result of how well the prosperity or lack of it from the restaurant industry.
But Brian Fritz, I mean, the city argues, though, that indoor dining is just too, it's just not safe. And we've got this big surge happening in our country, and we've got to save people's lives.
Okay, so there's two responses to that. One, you shut these places down back in March, okay, without any input, any oversight. Everybody gave the city the benefit of the doubt because everybody was concerned about the virus. That was before we had a 99.9% survival rate. That was before these places were allowed to be open. And the city, if so concerned, should have, or maybe they did, developed a body of evidence to say whether or not their initial theories were correct or incorrect. We want to see that information before the city just summarily shuts these places down again. If the city was so concerned back in March and allowed these places to reopen with oversight, well, the city should have some level of monitoring data or some basis of science other than, okay, well, I think so that's what I'm going to do. And we would expect that they should have something that says, okay, whether the restrictions worked, what infection rate does the city have related to restaurants and indoor dining? And one of the logical questions is, how does the city come up with, okay, it's so dangerous for indoor dining somehow, but it's not dangerous to be in a Philadelphia Lowe's or Walmart or Wawa? How does the city draw those distinctions?
Here's another question I have. And Brian Fritz joins me. He's the partner with Fritz and Being Cooley, and they are representing the Philadelphia Restaurant Owners Group against lockdowns. How did Philadelphia come up with the arbitrary number of four people at a table? And they all can't be from the same household. But why four? Where does the number four come? It's like, you know, 10 for Thanksgiving at your house. Where do these arbitrary numbers come from?
That's a great question. We have no idea. And the fact that you're even asking it, if you dig into that, I think that the sentiment of nonsense comes to mind. How can you come up with, okay, it's safe to have four, but not six? How do you come up with these arbitrary numbers? And even, listen, where they're going right now is it goes beyond restaurants. If you get a whiff of this, now they're going into people's homes and saying how many people you can have. Well, that these all these things deal with the basic constitutional rights that we've all enjoyed for generations. And if you're going to start infringing on them, you ought to have a boatload of supporting evidence to say how or why. And as of right now, we only have these directives from the not even an elected official, this Dr. Farley from the Department of Health. And there's been no official order that I've seen from the actual city or the mayor acting under any official capacity. It's more or less Dr. Farley. And we have no idea what he's referencing or what he's relying upon. And let's not forget, these are the same people that there's a history here with the Kennedy administration bypassing city council, bypassing due process rights or giving citizens a right to be heard. There's been a history of this. I mean, all they do is go back to the early part of this year when there was this sudden almost force feeding of safe injection sites into neighborhoods in South Philadelphia without any input from the citizens or city council.
Brian Fritz, let me ask you, on this idea of people's private homes, I mean, a lot of people turn around and go, oh, well, those are just guidelines. They can't really enforce them. I say that's ridiculous. Of course they can enforce them if they're making these rules. These aren't guidelines. They're not suggestions. These are rules that they're making. I disagree with the process by which they're making them, but, I mean, they can still come with punitive damages, I would imagine, right?
Well, that's the whole thing here, where we are and how they're going to enforce things or what they're going to do or not. I mean, the whole hazy nature of this poses a question and really conjures simultaneous notions of trepidation and pause. Because right now, off the cuff, maybe people would say, oh, they're just guidelines. But when do guidelines become some basis for a citation, a violation, or
that's
something?
That's my question. When does it go from a guideline to a citation when they theoretically kick in your door because you've got 15 people in your private house for a Thanksgiving dinner?
Well, typically, your sentiment is correct that a guideline wouldn't necessarily be something of a criminal nature or criminal statute. However, the world in which we live right now and the way that they're imposing these things and acting, it is not far-fetched if some sort of inspector or somebody else who's coming around over things or is charged with enforcing some aspect of this does not bleed that into what they might be citing you for, and then it's up to you to go fight that in some sort of a municipal, criminal, or L&I hearing.
Now, as far as the restaurants go, what sort of argument can you give to say, and I hope you win because I want these restaurants to stay open, but what sort of argument can you give to say that the restaurants can, in fact, continue to be open and not contribute to big spikes in COVID?
Sure. I think what we go through is a historical perspective on that. And basically what that means is if we look over the history of how long restaurants have been open and ask what has the city – excuse me for one second – what has the city developed to say that since these restaurants have been open even in a restricted capacity, show us the spikes. Show us what infections are related to – the restaurants. And if that's not there, then how does the city justify suddenly that these restaurants are this source, again, versus going to some other business? Or maybe the city-run, operated, and profit center called the Christmas Village, which is allowed to be open.
But can you argue that the steps that the restaurants have taken with, you know, plexiglass and social distancing and hygiene, that actually those things have really not contributed to an increase, and that therefore this is just arbitrary rules they're making against them? I mean, haven't restaurants done a lot, invested a lot to keep their people safe and keep their patrons safe?
Yes, they have, and they've followed the guidelines. And again, here's where I would go to the actual lack of evidence. The fact that the city has not pointed to anything over the course of the past several months that the restaurants have been open to say that they can relate any COVID infections to an actual restaurant or restaurants. I think the fact that we don't have such reports, stats, or any sort of studies that the city can point to or has pointed to over the course of time completely undermines the city's resurrected position that somehow these places are a source of spread versus other businesses. And if you really look at this, there is something called equal protection underneath the Constitution. And is the city applying laws, restrictions, et cetera, equally to businesses? And, you know, at first blush, no. No, they're not. And then it's like, well, why not? How come they're not? Well, we don't have that basis, but certainly what we do have is a history of a complete lack of any reports or any indication of the city that restaurants were a source of any infections, or that their initial theory back on March 17th that restaurants were potentially the source of this big spread were actually founded. And I think that, to answer your question, is we point to the lack of any indication, any spikes, to say that the restaurants certainly can't be culpable or up to this level that the city is suggesting that they should be entirely shut down.
Brian, thank you very much for the call, for calling the show today and for fighting for these groups. We appreciate it. Brian Fritz, Fritz and Biancooley, Philadelphia Restaurant Owners Group Against Lockdowns. Hey, Brian, thanks again. Good luck with the fight. Keep me posted.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.